I must decrease, he must increase. Power in me is there, I believe. Hallelujah. Oh, for this you bled on Calvary. Your pride is no longer a mystery. Thy will, oh, thy will be done. Be done, Lord, be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil spirit risen. I'm a blessing. Next verse. Oh, Jesus, I want to die. You must live. In your word, there's grace to believe. Oh, I won't let you go till you bless me. Like Jacob, I'll wrestle till I'm free. Oh, first. Oh, old Buddy Robinson plowing corn. The preacher angry got mad at his mule. He said, Lord, if you don't seal me here and now, you'll find my bones lying next to my plow. Oh, my will be done. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing.
God bless you, saints. Thank you, Lord George, Lord Jesse, Brother Joel. That day has come, I guess. Yeah, but we thank the Lord in all things. Amen. So while we're standing, if we can open the word of God. Amen. Perhaps before we do that, we'll offer a word of prayer. That'll help us just to settle into things. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thankful unto Thee, Lord, Father, for yet another opportunity, Lord, to be gathered in your house, Lord. Father, Lord, with expectations in our hearts. Lord, because you have been so faithful to us, Lord. Father, week after week, Lord, even during this week, you've been merciful to us, Lord. And Father, how, Lord, deep in our hearts we desire more of you. So we hear with an expectation, Father. And Lord, we are yielded, we submitted to thee. Father, even the song which the brethren sang, Lord. Father, our desire is that your will be done inside of our lives. So, Lord, as we seek this, we pray that you'd give us grace to look less at ourselves and more unto thee. Father, Lord, we pray now, even before opening your word. Lord, anyone with most of the saints, if not all, have an education and we're all able to read this word. But, Lord, it takes you, Father, to make sense, Lord, to make it real. Father, what's between the lines? So help us, Lord, at this time. Father, as we pray, Lord, the word that we read, may you please anoint it. Amen. Father, we pray, Lord, also for your children, Lord, not only those who are gathered here, but those who are online that couldn't make it this day, Lord. Father, some with work, whatever hindrance it would be, we commit them to you, Lord. Father, some that are still on their way, Please, Father, we ask that you'd grant them grace, grant them mercies, Father, as they journey into your house. Bless us now as we pray and ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. If the sister could help us to give us 1 Samuel chapter 13. We'll read a few verses from there before we take our seats, yeah? So 1 Samuel 13, if we read from verse 5. The scripture goes, and we'll read from 5 to 13. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward of Bethan. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So you may be seated. If we can read another two scriptures, if the sister can give us 1 Samuel 15. And verse 22. I'll make sure the whole Sunday school we'll be just reading scripture after scripture. Because we all love the word of God, and we know with that we can't go wrong. Yeah, so 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And we'll read one more scripture. Mark chapter 12 and verse 33. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, amen, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Yeah. So I think the word of God, it speaks for itself. But just perhaps as a thought, there's so many directions which you could go with God's word. But just a thought of obedience while we wait. While we wait on the promises of God or on God's spoken word, whichever way it would have come unto us. But just looking at our brother there, Saul, to begin with, that we know his background and all these scriptures, they're all familiar to us. But just for reason of trying to make a point or bring across a thought, that we know Saul, he had been he was the first king for Israel, you know. He was even numbered amongst the prophets, Saul was. But we see that they came astray. They came a challenge, you know, because before that, leading up to that, his son Jonathan, they had come up against the Philistines and overpowered them and taken their garrison. So the Philistines had reacted to that. They were coming back. And as the scripture said, in number, there were so many horsemen and so forth. So much that, as we've seen from the word of God, that the children of Israel, they trembled. They were afraid because looking with their natural eyes, what was in front of them was disaster. I'm sure that some of those that were fleeing, going this way, some were going that way, they would have been even condemning Jonathan. Yet Jonathan, it was by the hand of God that he had wrought a victory for the children of Israel. But they were condemning them because they were fearful. They were looking at what was coming on toward them. You see? And the Lord hadn't left them just like that. He hadn't, because Samuel the prophet had told him that I will come back after 7 days, because they had to offer up, make certain sacrifices and offerings before they went up before their enemies, you know. And it was at this time that we see that the whole drama of it unfolded, because on one side, there was the enemy. On the other side, you have the children of God, the children of promise. You know, the ones who the Lord had told them that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. They had the promise, but in this circumstance, the promise wasn't real to them. You know, and Saul, who had been called to be a leader to these people, he was their leader. He too, he was afraid. And Saul, though he was the first king of Israel, he was anointed the first king, but we see that this circumstance that unfolded, the Lord had good intentions to him. The Lord desired to increase his borders, which would extend to his family and his family beyond that. But in his journey came along this situation. And these circumstances, if we bring these things down even to our own lives, that whatever it is that we meet as we go on in this journey of life, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by God. But what is key is how do we react in the face of adversity, in the face of those difficult times. Because like here with our brother Saul, Samuel delayed to come. He's looking around him, he's seeing brothers have fled left, right, and center. And even as he said, when Samuel later came to him, he said, "What is this thing that you've done?" And Saul said, "Look, you didn't come on the time which was appointed. So I forced myself to offer up sacrifices." But that in itself manifested that Saul, because when we face trials, challenges, we know that any believer that's walking right with the Lord, although we know that we have the grace of God behind us, but there's always, the prophet said, if it's not one thing, it's something else. You come out of one challenge into another challenge. You see, so we know that those things will come, but God is with us. And one thing that those things do, sometimes, especially those challenges that linger, you know, it could be whatever it is. Sometimes it could be, there's so many things, you know, it could be a long-term illness. It could be long-term financial difficulty. It could be regularizing your paperwork. It could be marriage. It could be long-term unemployment, whatever it is. But it's during those times of testing, those times of trial, where the Lord really can become more real to us. But depending on how we react to the situation and circumstance. Because I like what the pastor said in one of his messages there recently, that our behavior determines our inheritance, our conduct, because we're saved by God's grace. But our conduct is the one that determines our inheritance. So you can see with Saul, even how he reacted there, that he was a man that perhaps he wasn't like David, let's say. Because the scripture tells us that David, he rose up early in the morning to seek his God. And if he had done that, with this challenge coming his way, he wouldn't have reacted in that way. Because he manifested by this that his relationship with the Lord was strained. He was in a situation that he didn't know his God. He didn't know that those that know their God will do exploits. He didn't know that no matter what way the enemy is coming at us, but if you stand in obedience to God's word, God is obligated to fight your battles. He's obligated. He knows that your footsteps, they're ordered by God. It may have been a surprise to the children of Israel that they looked to be outnumbered, but it wasn't a surprise to God. It was not a surprise to God, because we see it that as soon as he had finished offering up those sacrifices, straight away the man of God arrived. And what he said to him, he said, why have you disobeyed the commandment of the Lord? So the word that Samuel told him was a commandment unto him. Amen. But he didn't see it or take it at that. You see, he was a man who he was not prayerful. Like we had said, he met the devil before he met God. And that's a dangerous thing. You know, so it behooves us, in whatever circumstance, whatever situation we may find ourselves in, that no matter how heavy the challenge is, wait on God. Wait on God. Because he'll never leave you, never forsake you. No matter how bad or how difficult it looks, it's important to wait on God. I won't read the scripture, but just to quote the one of Lazarus. We remember what happened with Lazarus. Lazarus, his sister Mary, and Martha. These were people who the prophet said that for a way of making a living, they'd make tapestries. Excuse me, for the temple, you know. But when they followed Jesus, they forsook even their own living. Amen. They had no source of income which had been regular to them, you know. But they sold out to Jesus. That's why I love that scripture in Mark chapter 12, that all their hearts, all their mind, all their strength, they gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as they went on in the journey of life, Lazarus, he became sick even unto death. And in that time, for what they had did, no doubt they faced pressure from the some of the neighbors, their relatives, people who they were with in the temple, to say, this is heresy. What are you doing? You know? Our Lord God is going to punish you for following this heresy. But they were fully sold out to what they believed. And then Lazarus gets sick. Well, to them, they knew Jesus. They knew that Jesus had given sight to the blind. He had raised the dead. They knew all that. So they sent word to Jesus to say, Lazarus, who you love, he's sick even unto death. But what did Jesus do? He didn't come running to them. He actually went another day's journey in the opposite direction, opposite to them. So if you put yourself in their shoes to think, what would have went through their minds? You know, how would they have felt? Surely they knew that Jesus, he knew everything that they had sacrificed for them. They believed, he knew it. So initially they would have said, as soon as he hears, it's either he'll send a word from where he is or he'll come in person. Because we have welcomed him in this house. His many great testimonies have gone out from our house. So surely our Lord will come. But he didn't. Instead, he went the opposite way. If these believers didn't know their God, their hearts would have fainted. There would have been no hope for them. You know? And it does us good to put ourselves many times, because what we read in the Word and the pages that are on the book, we leave them there if we don't apply those things inside of our lives. You see, it's got to be real to us. Because if you think about that, that if you seek unto death, and then you call, never mind, we pray obviously to the Lord. But if I send a word to the pastor, I remember when I was going through some trials with my eyes and so forth, and I was in the hospital. Hey, you don't know what it feels like. You pray and you're feeling confident in yourself, but you just want to see one of God's children. You know, because you know when you see the person, you know that they've taken effort for out of their day to come and visit you. And you know that that person is praying for you. You know, so to think that, let alone not just one of the fellow believers, but Jesus himself, who they requested, he didn't come out unto them. But we see it, the word doesn't say all in between, but we read between the lines. And the prophet as well, he tells us that, like, these people, their hearts didn't faint. Because when Jesus did eventually come, we see Martha, who at one time, she was just busy. She loved to maybe just cook and to make sure the house is clean. And whereas Mary always sat under Jesus' feet. She wanted to hear the word. But Martha had her day. When Jesus came, the word says, she ran out to meet him. And you can tell that that sister had been with the Lord in prayer. Because she didn't speak words of disrespect. She said, Lord, Lazarus, who you love, yes, is dead. If you had been here, you see, she was respectful. She had been in the face of challenge. She had honored the Lord. She had continued with her commitment toward God. Amen. And that is a key thing for us as believers, to remember some of these things. Because during those challenges, it's easy to raise our hands up and say hallelujah and to be the most righteous person when things are going well. The bank balance is good. There's good health in the family. There's peace between husband and wife. The children are doing what you want. It's easy at that time to say, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. You see, but it's during that time that it appears as though things are falling apart. Are we going to be obedient in that time? Are you still going to love the Lord the same way which you did when things were going your way? Because during our time of trial and of challenge, the enemy, he does that. He mocks us. You know, remember with Goliath, what do you do? He'd come every day and brag. It looked like they had lost the victory. So he does that inside our lives. When something is lingering, that's a challenging time. Because obviously, always when something rises up in our life, maybe we have a need, a job. You pray about it, you believe you're going to get it. 1 week goes by, a month goes by, 2 months go by, a year goes by. It's easy at that stage to give up or to think that, this has happened, or it's because of this and that. And during those times, We need to be to watch as well what's around us. That's why the word says we should watch and pray. Because they always comes at that time. Job's comforters. You know? Voices ah, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. You know, sometimes there's those saints that know everything. Yeah, no matter what situation arises, they know the answer for that. You know, so those are challenging times because you're in the depths of something. You don't know why is this thing not moving, you know? And they come and give different suggestions. I wouldn't use anyone else. I remember one time when we were going through a challenging time, it was. And what had happened was, this was maybe back 2010. So I wanted to apply for my Irish passport. So when I went to put in, I found that my wife's passport and my son's, my wife and the children, theirs had 6 months remaining. Mine had 2 years on my passport. So you needed more time. So we said, look, let's renew the passports for these guys. I had 2 years, I think. And then we'll apply because you needed more, at least 6 months on. They had less than that. So as what happens with the ZIM passports, those that know, sometimes the ZIM embassy sends people here and you fill out the forms and you send it home. Someone hands the passports in and get the passport and send it back. But what happened on this occasion, I sent it, he's a believer, but you're struggling a little bit at that time. He's a family, a friend, childhood friend. And I sent it to him. He had done it for me before. But for some reason, he kept just saying, look, they want 275 euros. I sent it. After about a month, they said, hey, look, this is supposed to take 2 weeks. Yeah, no, sorry, they need 300. I sent it. Till in the end, I said, no, something is not right here. So I said, look, this, I had already paid for the passports. What am I paying all this money for? You know how things are here, this, that. So I said, look, we can't go on like that, you know? So he said, look, let me talk to them. He spoke to them. They said, look, finally, 50 euros each passport, because I sent mine as well with them. And so it was 200. I sent it to them, nothing. So I end up seeing that I'll end up becoming bad friends with this friend of mine. But I'll end it in this. So, long story short, it ended up getting lost in the whole confusion, and this whole process took 4 years. So at the time, we had to renew our passports. I can't remember, could have been every year, if not every second year. So we went for those 4 years without renewing. But during that time, there's a lot of words which would have been said. You know, it's because of this. It's because of that. But there come a certain time where you realize the devil is hiding here, but I know the Lord can overcome this situation. So you just commit it to God, you know. And I was told that, look, you'll never get your situation fixed because you've gone 4 years without. Eventually, after 4 years, I told him, look, just forget about everything. We just want to start from scratch. Send me back my old passports. So when he went, he said, there's two here that are ready. The other two, right, they would give you if you would give us an ID, your ID, and my identity card. I had found my identity card 5 years prior to that and hid it somewhere, and then I forgot where it was. So I couldn't find it. So I said, look, it's okay. Just send me back the old ones. I can't find my ID. And I will just start the whole process from scratch. And saints, so I stopped dealing with him and I asked my niece just to go get them. So she said, the woman said, yeah, come, I'll give it to you tomorrow. When she went the next day, she called me and said, uncle, I got your passports. So I said, yeah, the two. She said, no, all four. And I also have an ID. Whose ID was it? It was my ID. I don't know how the ID got to Zimbabwe. but it got there, you know. But just to show that if you hold on in faith and continue to commit, no matter what the challenge is, the Lord always comes through for us. So whatever we may be facing, saints, just remain obedient. Don't mind the voices that come. The only voice you want to hear is from the Word. Don't mind no voice, even though it may sound reasonable. If it doesn't line up with the Word, don't move off it. The Lord will always come through with that. I think we'll leave it there for today, saints. Thank you for your patience in hearing us out. Let's offer a word of prayer before we... Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and mercies, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence. Father, we appreciate you. Now, Lord, we want to commit, Lord, the remainder of the service unto thee. Lord, may it be a blessing to your children. Father, how I pray, Lord, for the song worship. Lord, the musicians, you see now yesterday, Lord, they were, Father, yielding themselves, Lord, after an all night, Lord, they yielded themselves, Lord, to be in the right spirit, Lord, that you be able, Lord, to use them. So use them, Lord, for your glory. Father, that they may be a preparation, Lord, for the word. And bless, Lord, our pastor as you have been doing, Lord. Use him, Lord, for your glory. Undertake for him. Father, Lord, we just commit him into your hands. Lord, even as we're thankful for a baptism service, Lord. Father, what a wonderful thing. We know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing, Lord. So we would rejoice with them. Be with us now, Lord. We pray that you bless and undertake for all that will be said and done as we give thanks to you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.